if you want a sister, Nikaya is the ideal, like, sister. She's just, that is just, nah, it's not, let's not that. If you're constantly having someone else be the this is the special one or whatever, that kind of made me not want to pursue it.
I didn't feel like I belonged there. Like, I had all of this, like chatter in my head of being like, I'm bringing down the level of the World Cups. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not ready. I'm blah, blah, blah. Like, recently we went outside and it was like the first time in like 2 years. And we both did our first 10 within like a few tries. Like, and that was it.
But everyone wants to know, are you guys related to Annie Sanders? Welcome to another episode of the That's Not Real Climbing podcast. I'm your host, Jenny, and I'm excited to introduce my guests for today, Nikaya and Sovray Sanders. You may recognize Nikaya from when she recently made her first Boulder World Cup finals in Curitiba, and her sister Sovray podiumed at her last USA Youth Boulder Nationals. In this episode, we get a lot of insight into their sibling dynamic as comp climbers. We'll hear about Nikaya's experience in Curitiba and Sovray's experience going through mental battles at comps, and we'll have some fun conversations about food and Harry Potter. They were such a joy to talk to, so I hope you enjoy this episode with the Sanders sisters. I'm excited to announce that my sponsor, Mad Rock Climbing, just came out with a brand new pair of shoes, the Remora Pro. I was so excited to try them on that even though I broke a toe on my right foot, I had to at least try on the left shoe, so I can definitely say that the Remora Pro is better than a rental shoe. But really, these are their softest shoe ever, which means you no longer need to worry about standing on sketchy volumes and comps. They also have a crazy 3D heel that allows you to get more surface area when heel hooking, and inserts that lock your heel into the shoe no matter how hard you're pulling. Feel free to message me if you have any questions about the shoes or sizing, and you can use the discount code NOTREALCLIMBER for 10% off your entire Mad Rock order. Back to the show. Why'd you decide to do the haircut?
Oh, okay. I love having my hair short. I've had it a few times short.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, like I think the first time I cut all my hair off, I was like 14, maybe 13. I just really like the feeling of it. And I've been really wanting to for like a while. And I like, I finally was like, okay, I'm just going to do it.
Ever since she was little, she was like obsessed with having her hair short. Yeah. Like that was always the thing.
I really like how it looks before. I like short hair.
Have you ever considered, like, full bald?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, really?
Well, so I really want to buzz my head at some point in my life. I think it might look like a bowling ball, but I like it. I want to. And I actually, like, the picture I showed the guy was, like, a bit longer than this, and he went a lot shorter. Like, kind of, it made me, like, I'm like, okay, I can look decent with, like, short shorts. So maybe the next time you see me.
That would be crazy. I would love to see it. But yeah, how are you guys doing? Do you guys have like a rest day today?
We just got back like 20 minutes ago from our first session. Then when this is done, we'll go back.
What is your usual gym out there?
We climb a little bit at Movement and then the Rock City Training Center. And LBR too, or we'll go to San Diego.
Can we come out everywhere?
Did you guys go to the new, or it's not like new grotto, but the new... since it's had all the changes.
Not yet. Have you?
No, I told you guys I was gonna go, but then I broke my toe and I thought it'd be better by now, but it's still not. So then
I didn't end up going.
I was doing like lateral jumps and I wasn't wearing shoes. And then I like jumped to the right side, but my pinky toe like got caught under the rest of my foot. So then like all my weight landed on it and then it was indeed broken.
Oh, that's so bad. That's gross. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's been like 4 weeks and I thought it would be better by now. It's not like fully better, so I'm gonna wait a bit until I can like put on real shoes, because I don't know, they said a lot of like good slab at Grotto and it's, I can't really do slab right now. So
that sucks. I broke my big toe and it was not fun to share that story.
Yeah. How'd you do that?
I was in a terrible mood one day and I was doing my like, I think it was like weighted hangs or weighted pull-ups. It must have been weighted hangs at home, and I couldn't find our weight
belt. And so I was like, a chalk belt's fine. And so I put 40 pounds on a chalk belt.
Whoa.
And obviously it came undone because it's usually just like a plastic clip. And it fell on my toe and it broke the chip off, like of like the like very tip of my big toe. But I refused to admit it was broken. And so I climbed on it for like a week or two. And I could feel it like stabbing me, but I was like, it's fine.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And then I went to the doctor and it was broken. And he was like, he was so mad at me. He was like, now it can't, like, you might as well just keep climbing because it's not going to heal right anyways.
Oh.
Eventually it will build up like scar tissue. And so I was able to climb through the whole time. It was so gross. I could like literally feel like the shard like stabbing me. But yeah. I could climb through the whole thing. And I just dealt with it.
Wow. How long ago was this?
It was pretty, like,
a while ago now.
Right before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like early 2020.
And it actually, like, healed, I guess?
Yeah. It didn't, like, it took a while to heal, and then it was fine.
That's good, I guess.
I guess sometimes it works doing that with injuries, but I don't know how I got away with, like, going all the way through. He was so mad, the doctor was like...
I haven't been, like, putting pressure on it, because I don't like pain.
A little bit of like a weird relationship with pain, I feel like. I like
there's a super high pain tolerance. And then just committed to it also. Just about, yeah.
I have a little bit of like a sticky brain. So when I want to do something, it like will go. Well, I think sometimes I just like don't process it right where it's just like, it's not that painful to me.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get into any questions that are too difficult, the first question is going to be really easy, but everyone wants to know, are you guys related to Annie Sanders?
We are not.
I got like so many questions for that. Do you get asked that a lot?
Oh, yeah. So yeah. Much.
Yeah. A ton. I was looking at, I don't remember, I saw comments somewhere. They're like, yeah, just everywhere. It was like, am I related? No.
Okay, we're Annie setting the record straight here.
So what there's actually, Annie has a sister, and so there's four Sanders girls.
Like climbing?
Yeah, she climbs.
Okay, good to know. Have you guys like climbed together before?
With Annie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like with team events and stuff at training camps.
Well, I'll maybe have an episode with her in a month or so. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so back to you guys. How did you guys get into climbing?
My aunt found like a climbing gym on Groupon. And it was just like, we should all go because I have two older brothers that are very active. And so we just went as a family. And then we went, I think my brothers were really into it. They're teenagers. So we went every day for a month straight. And that was kind of how it started.
Our oldest brother's got like, I think we're all very like a kind of obsessive brains. But he's like especially obsessive. So whenever he started anything as a kid, it was like 100% in. And so it was like immediately we went to the gym and we're like all obsessed. Driving like an hour each direction, like fully in.
Oh, wow, yeah.
With a very kind mom who is like willing to facilitate that. So it was like full obsession right away. And then we got onto the team within like a few months, like, yeah, maybe like a month or two.
Like a youth team?
Yeah, yeah.
And did your brothers also compete?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then,
yeah. How did they do?
They were good. I think my oldest brother didn't do any of the open comps. Like, he just went through the youth circuit.
He didn't like the competition aspect of it.
It wasn't as much, yeah, much more like into outdoors. And then the next oldest but younger brother, he competed into the open national level comps and stuff. And he's good. He's like, they're both stupidly good off the couch climbers.
Off the couch.
Extremely good.
Yeah, got that. Like, when people say they don't like the comp aspect of it, what do you think that means? Like, what part of it? Is it like the competitiveness, the pressure? Does that like drive you guys?
He didn't like the pressure very much in like reference to my eldest brother. I think that he didn't thrive under the pressure of it. And it just wasn't fun to him. I think
he started a lot older too, but it's a little bit, I think he was like 16 when he started. And I think it's
really hard to transition into competitions when you're that old. And also just like my brother naturally is like a go off and do his own thing. And like outdoor climbing is definitely like perfect match for him of just like working projects and going with the flow a bit more.
Okay, makes sense. You guys both keep separately saying my brother and it's like really confusing me.
Our brother.
Because at first I was like, oh, I guess it's just her brother. And then, oh, wait, but it's the same person.
People actually think that we're not related a lot. Like, the amount of people that are like, have known us for years and will be like, oh my God, you're sisters? Even though we have the same last name, both have weird names and travel together. All the time, people will be shocked. But no, we actually, same parents, same family, brotherly.
I guess you guys both look pretty different, so that's probably it. And with the hair now, too, it's really hard to tell.
We have, like, actually similar features, if you look. But it's everything else that makes it different.
And you also mentioned that you guys were homeschooled. I guess it was in order to focus more on climbing. What was that like?
No, actually, so we've been homeschooled our whole lives. My brothers were also homeschooled, all four of us. And my oldest brother is actually 9 years older than her. And so there's like quite a big gap. And so he was homeschooled like kind of before it was like really starting to become a thing. But we were homeschooled because we lived in two different spots. And so we couldn't go to normal school. And so we were splitting time between spots.
I see. So that was like the whole Portland, SoCal split.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't actually know that many homeschooled people. Do you get that whole like weird social thing? Or
So there are weird homeschoolers for sure. We grew up with like going to like sometimes we like when we were younger, kind of actually really before climbing, we would go to like homeschool park day, this homeschool class, that homeschool class. And there are some weird, weird homeschooled people.
Really.
But also I feel like it the people that I've met that I'm like, wow, you're a really unique, confident person. And you really just like seem not scared of the world. Almost always I've like later found out like, oh, you're homeschooled. And so I think it could go either way. And I think it's also really individual of whether it works for you or not. I think also being in a sport while you're is a huge difference because otherwise you're just like incredibly isolated in your school. But or oftentimes I should say, not overgeneralize, but if you have a sport, you kind of have a little bit of that like social experience where you're meeting a bunch of different types of people and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you guys didn't feel like you had like a weird transition into society?
No. I think more so we were like, like my mom always told us to be like little adults in the gym. And I think that kind of caught on. We were like almost, like especially her because of my brother being like 9 years older and not being around like in a class with a bunch of people her age. She, I think, was like more mature. Like she's like a little 5-year-old teenager. And I think that part maybe was like a little bit of transition of just not being in the same age bubble as other people. But I think through like the team, like being on a youth team and climbing, we were around a lot of people, a lot of adults especially.
Yeah. And what's your age difference?
2.5 years.
Okay, so sorry. Nakia said that you weren't into training before and that you were just like being dragged around to the gyms. What changed for you when deciding to actually pursue climbing more heavily?
Very complicated, but I would say when I was little, I started climbing when I was 5. So I was mostly like playing with like Legos, like under the boulders and stuff. Like, wasn't climbing super. She would just go down the cubbies for hours. I would end the cubbies and so on. But so I would like kind of play and stuff. And then as I got more into like my teenage years and stuff, I guess also goes into a little bit of competitiveness between Nikaya or like that relationship. But I started like seeing her get so many like accolades for climbing and people being like, oh, you're amazing about this. And like, a lot of attention was put on her for climbing. Now, I'm not saying this is actually like what happened, but this is what I perceive happening. And so it kind of made me feel a little bit less like I wanted to do it because I was I wasn't as good.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Because I wasn't working at it, I didn't like it that much at all. And so I think that kind of helped push me out a little bit, where it was not something that I wanted to do because I didn't love the sport. And if you're constantly having someone else be the this is the special one or whatever, so to say, that's kind of a dramatic term, but like that kind of made me not want to pursue it. And then eventually we went, she went, made it to Youth Worlds in Moscow, or
it was Moscow. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in Moscow.
No, it was Varense.
Yeah. Anyways, Russia. We went there and I saw like competitors that were my own age, and seeing them like do well, and seeing the international girls really like have different climbing styles and stuff kind of showed me that I guess we could both be really good at it in both, and that it would be something special if we did it together. Like, it wasn't that I needed to find my own path in life. It also kind of showed me that I could also enjoy the sport, not hate it. So that was a big difference. And then I got her to make me a training plan on the way home, like on the flight, and then went straight into training and just never stopped, I guess.
From an outside perspective, it was kind of like, it was really interesting for me because it, like, she is really young at the time. You were probably like 13, right?
I feel 14. And, yeah, just turned 14.
And watching her like go from like as like a little kid just like playing in the gym to like preteen, where she was like kind of being forced a little bit to go to the gym just because like that's what our family was doing, and like we do everything kind of like as a unit, and like a lot it was like hard for me because I was like, I need to be in the gym training for like hours on end, and like I just remember her being like, let's go home. Like, come on.
That's horrible. Yeah, I get that.
We were in the gym for like 6 hours a day, of course. And then going to this comp and just being like, seeing, like, I think I really wanted her to get into training. Like, I thought that would be the coolest thing ever. And then seeing her just like on her own have this little like spark of being like, oh, this is cool. And immediately turn around into like, I think me and my mom were like, oh, this is really exciting. Maybe she's going to get into it. And it probably won't last very long, but at least like it'll be fun for like a few weeks. And it was like just like light switch of being like, I hate training, to like, I love this. I want to be doing this. I'm going to try as hard as I can. And it just like never stopped of like super, super dedicated, like everything in. I don't think I've ever seen that sort of switch before in a person. And it was really cool to be able to like witness that, like, yeah, just how like a little like spark moment can just change everything.
If you also want to know what it feels like from going to from like a very recreational climber that didn't really like it into very solid training, the first week of your life is the worst. It hurt so bad. My body was like, it was the first time I ever got out of bed at the ripe age of 14 and being like, I am in actual like agony. Like, I feel like an old woman. Like, it was horrible. No, it gets better. After the first week, it's very easy.
So you were 14 when that started?
I think I just turned 14. Yeah.
Do you ever like look back on that time and regret all the time that you didn't spend prior to 14?
I think in some ways I do, because I would have been probably a little bit better than I am now. So in that way, I do. I was also deeply unhappy around that time. Like I went into crazy, but just I was not happy with myself, as you can be when you're 14. And so yeah. I think that would have probably helped that sooner. But it was some good character building experience. And I think I needed to figure out that I liked being someone who worked hard and not just kind of doing the teenage thing.
So I think that was such an important lesson that I don't really regret it.
I mean, I guess I kind of relate to your point of view because, well, my sister is like 8 years older. But I think, yeah, especially since she was so much older, I was always kind of okay with just being like the one who's worse at things.
Yeah, you get like kind of trapped in that.
Yeah, but I don't think I ever really came out of that, so...
I think you're doing pretty good. Yeah. Doing some successful things.
Yeah. Well, we're doing different things. She never climbed. I climb. She does like skating instead, so it's all fine. But yeah, I can relate to you there.
I think the portion of like learning to try hard is really, well, watching with like my 16-year-old eyes at the time, I saw that portion of her was like, I think every like young teenager goes through a phase of being like, what am I doing? Like, who do I want to be? And maybe just like a little bit of like a lost period. I think it was really interesting to see that like transition of being like, it seemed a lot, but when she started training, to be like a whole personality. That's like what I always say, like light switch, because it's like, it was like a whole new person of being like, obviously like a child and like coasting and kind of just like, like doing life, to being like, whoa, you are like fully committed to working hard in climbing, but also just like in everything. It was like the craziest transition I've ever seen of direction. Really like was really interesting to watch.
It's nice that you were able to like find, I guess, this to bring you out of that like funk that you were in. But with both of you competing, I guess I'm wondering how often nowadays that you're both competing and like both trying to like do your best and climb super hard, how often do you guys feel jealous or competitive against each other during like competitions or training?
Well, we've gone through phases, and I think it's something we've had to figure out. Like we had, I think especially, well, as kind of, this kind of leads into it. Once she started training and working really hard, she got better. Like, Sophie is like naturally incredibly athletic, like really, like when she works on something, she gets really good really fast. And I think seeing that, I was like, whoa, this is scary, because I've always been better. Like, obviously I'm like older, and so I was used to being like better than her and also being like the one that's working hard. And so there was like this weird transition period of being like, oh, she's working hard, but that's like my thing, is that I work hard. And like, I was like, I think I've always had a lot of identity about being like a hard worker. And especially when I was younger, like I was really dead set of being like, I need to be the one that's like working harder than everyone around me. And if someone else is working harder, I'm going to work harder than them. And so when she started like matching me in pace of what we were doing, it was like really disconcerting for me to be like, whoa, like she's getting better and she's working like equally hard to me. Like, how am I going to deal with this? And I think it was really hard for a while, and we like butted heads a little bit, but I think I transitioned quickly because of like our family is like very explicit. Like, if there's a problem, we're going to talk about it, and we talk through everything. Like, there's not a lot of like privacy in my family. Like, it's like, we're going to talk about whatever's happening. And I think it was just like a lot of conversations of just being like, I think also, and I think maybe sometimes people like miss this, is like our prior, like at least mine, she could speak for herself, but my priority will always be like our relationship over any climbing. Like, that's just like my life values of being like, I care more about our relationship than whatever is going to happen in climbing. And so like, it might be hard and I might feel competitive, but we're going to like work it out to, in the end, to like be able to train together. I don't know. I want to hear your
perspective. I honestly, during that period, was pretty oblivious to the fact that there could be difficulty with that. Like, I was quite oblivious to that. However, Nikaya is, like, if you want a sister, Nikaya is the ideal like sister. She's just that. In her nature, she just like will not do anything if it is harmful to me, if it makes me feel bad. Like, Nikaya, when we were like 10,
we would fight and I would go pout in the corner and she would come over and be like, we have to work this out. We're sisters. Like, we can't fight like this. And then, do you want to pretend to be twins? And that was it. Like, it was just, that's just how Nakia was. And so it wasn't ever an option, I would say. I think later in like our climbing, I guess, like, journey, you could say, I started struggling with, like, when I started keeping up with her is where I started struggling with it more on my end of being competitive and being like annoyed that she was beating me. Then I think I had a tiny bit of a rough patch of being like, kind of, I don't even want to say like, it would, as soon as we walked out of the gym, it was gone. But that being in the gym and feeling that pressure to like constantly like succeed or fail, like every day in the gym, that kind of got with me. And then we went into team trials and Nikai had a horrible back injury prior to that. She had just started climbing and she did the best she'd ever done in a call. Team trials, I should say. So she made like development team and stuff. And it was really, and it still is, it's very hard to sit and watch in like a comp that you competed in and then watching the finals and being like, well, I could have been there, but I'm watching her. But I also realized at that comp, I was like, this is so dumb that I'm feeling competitive against her, because if I'm not having it, even if I do have it, like the reward, so not it, but the reward of like placing all the competition, I would so much rather Nikia have that, because I know how hard she works. I know she's very talented and obviously I love her. So I'm like, I so want her to succeed or do better even than me. But it kind of took that all away, because it.
I think like generally, like I've talked to people about just like their training partners or like other siblings, like the competitive aspect. And I feel like there's like, it's always going to be there, because of, if you're ever like we train like every session together. And so like, if you're ever compared to someone that consistently, even if it's like yourself comparing yourself, you're going to feel competitive. I think that's an incredibly positive thing, because you're like, that friction is like, I know I try harder when I'm like, when she's beating me. And it's just getting away from the like personal value or like negative competitiveness that comes with it. And I feel like Sobre has proven to me that she's really strong and she works really hard and she deserves it. And so like when you can get past that and be like, oh no, she can beat me and that's fine, I think it becomes way better, because like, instead of being like one-on-one rivalry, it's like, if she beats me, like, great. Like, obviously, I want to win every competition. Mm-hmm. But if I want anyone to win, I want her to win.
I think
that makes everything way easier.
I think also, like, other people, when they talk to you, they, like, want there to be this, like, kind of nasty rivalry, like, in the relationship. Like, the things that people will say to you, like, after Nikai has done really good in a comp and I've done really terribly. They're like, oh, are you just so mad that she beat you? Like,
whoa.
He'll say like, oh, I could go on and on and on about like the things that people just walk over to you. You're like, I don't even know who you are. And you just were like, yeah, you must be devastated that your sister beat you. She's like, okay. So I think that is like kind of sparks that negative competition. But as soon as you realize that, oh, wait, this doesn't even have to be something we think about, like we don't need this in our relationship, this isn't like a valid feeling, then it's kind of easy to just toss that away.
And so I guess you clearly don't have that feeling of like, I'm just the worst one anymore.
No.
But we also, what helps in training, yes, is that she beats me all the time.
Oh no.
I think that went away as soon as I found an identity outside of being the youngest that is like yapping at everyone's tails trying to keep up. I think that is a poor fight. And when you find an identity outside of that, of being like, oh, I'm not good, I'm a hard worker, and that's the identity, then that kind of goes away. Also, when you're not 14, that tends to help.
Yeah, that helps.
Like being two people, like every competition you go to, there's going to be like 50 people. And like, we're just two people there. And like, I think that is like a really important remembrance, instead of being like even just with competitiveness with people, like other people, like not with us. Like I find it like sometimes people will get like hyper fixated on like, oh, I need to beat that one person or that I can't believe that person beat me. And it's like, well, we're just 50 people in a competition, however it ranks. I think that's like at least helpful to me to be like not as like I think it gets so tied up in like worth. Like, yeah, who's the better one or who's this? People ask that all the time, which is hilarious to me.
Oh, yeah, so weird.
I'm like,
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Who's the better?
Yeah. Like, the, like especially, like, people, like, you, like, meet new people, and be like, oh, we climb. And they'll be like, oh, like, who's better?
We've that Ailey friends for, like, we've known for years that are great people. And they'll, like, try to compliment me. And be like, well, you're so much better than Nikaya. I'm like, I don't want that. I'm like, no, like, it's just weird.
What is your answer when they ask?
You go, well, she's good at this, I'm good at that.
She's probably not smooth.
Okay, we'll get into like strengths and weaknesses in a bit. So getting into, I guess, like elite competition, World Cup circuit, stuff like that. I guess, first of all, you mentioned that at that national team trials where you got into the national development team. Can you just kind of explain how getting onto the U.S. team works and how selection works and like what the national development team is versus like the actual national team?
Yeah, it's all kind of confusing. So the selection process, it's always kind of changes a bit. But for the past few years, it's been you could be pre-selected by being on in the top 10 of the world ranking from the World Cups. And so like the past few years, that's been Brooke, Natalia, and Annie. And then that has left like around 3 spots for like we count 5 people into team. Yeah, 5 people into team. And so that's 3 spots of the team go to them normally. And so there's 2 spots to qualify for like US team. And those are selected through, I think it's 40% nationals, our national championships, and 60% team trials. And those points like get combined into a ranking of everyone. And so to make national team your top 5 and to make development team your top, like,
I think it's 14, including
14 or something like this.
Other
than And yeah, so it's like the qualifying series. And it's, I think the process of like getting into that was really hard for me. Like it took me a lot of years to kind of break through. I hopefully have broken through now. I can say that'd be awesome.
But you don't know for sure yet?
No, I have to qualify again for World Cup. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Good luck there.
Yeah. But I think that's also like a part of like the last few years of like our like competitive dynamic has been interesting because of like both being kind of on the cusp of being on development team and trying to figure it out. And like this last year or two, like I was kind of just being in and then sometimes and then her just being out, like one spot out. I think that's been like something to like we've had conversations about.
And so even though you like competed all season this year, unless you're in the top 10 of the world ranking, you have to like re-qualify for the team.
Yeah, you get like bonus points if you're in the top 40 of the continue like the updating world ranking, but you still have to like go back and qualify, which that could change depending on like how selection they decide to select this next year. But for now, that's, yeah, like the past few years, that's how it's been.
Good to know. Thanks for the explanation. And then real quick, just reflecting on your time in Curitiba, Brazil, of course. Yes. Great comp there. Why do you think that comp went specifically so well for you? Please excuse this brief intermission, but if you're interested in deleted scenes from this episode where we talk about how they've went through 27 coaches and we discuss dealing with failure at a high level, do consider helping support this podcast on Patreon. Some other perks include a membership pin shipped to you after 2 months, prioritized guest questions, or the ability to submit video questions, and more to come. The proceeds go back into the podcast to help me break even, and they help me improve the experience of the guests. If you'd like to help out non-monetarily, liking, commenting, and sharing helps a great deal as well. Back to the show. Why do you think that comp went specifically so well for you?
Whoa, okay. Interesting. I haven't thought about that. I feel like the whole circuit has been like really a lot of learning for me, and specifically like I went into China right before World Cup Brazil, and I was like feeling super, I didn't feel like I belonged there, like I had all of this like chatter in my head of being like, oh, it's not like I'm bringing down the level of the World Cups, I'm not supposed to be here, I'm not ready, I'm blah blah blah, like whatever the thoughts were. And I was ended up being one spot out of semis, which kind of just like opened my mind up to being like, whoa, I'm supposed to be here. I'm good enough. And also just like, what does it mean to be supposed to be somewhere? But I think that really like opened my mind up to like the possibility of being like, I could do well. And I had a really long conversation with my coach after China, being like, I was so scared of like admitting like what I wanted, kind of, and being like, what is my potential to do, like the idea of ever like saying, like even in the conversation, I think I was like so scared to say like I want to make a final, because it's like that sounds so presumptuous, or I think that I'm capable of that. And so I think that was like all those kind of thoughts and conversations like was really helpful to me, like opening my mind up to being like, it's a possibility to make a semis or make a final. And going into Brazil, like I think that freaked me out a bit, but it was also like just like opening up those like thoughts, I think. And then I had like the most terrible warm up. It wasn't semis. It was qualifiers. I had to find warm up. I made semis. I was like so excited. It was like my first ever semis. I cry. I was so excited. And then I had a terrible warm up in semis where I was like, I like injured my forearm a little bit. Like nothing like real, but just like it was super painful. The night before, my coach had texted me like saying like, oh, like we were talking about finals or something, and being like, oh, just like leave the possibility open for yourself of making finals. And I think it was like just like the best reminder of being like, oh, okay, like I need to like have the belief, even if I don't think I am going to, like I need to believe I can. And I think it was like the best like thought to like lead into semis, of being like, I can do this. I don't need to do this. Maybe I won't happen now, but it's a possibility. And then I think after like, I really like slabs. And the first climb was a slab. I felt like that's like my little bubble, is like, I feel like I could be confident on slabs. And then after like doing the slab, I was like, okay, I could like let go of everything and like, yeah, just climb. And yeah, making finals obviously was like insane.
Yeah.
Wild. Yeah, I think that's all like a very roundabout way of saying like I think the whole experience was like crazy to have that like moment in China being like, I can do something, like I'm really far away from it, but like maybe in the long term, like I could be good at this. And then have it like so kind of like immediately like validated or affirmed was really like a cool, obviously cool experience, but like meaningful.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised because usually when people like make a finals for their first time, a lot of the things I hear is just like they like something bad happened and then they let go of all expectations and they like just weren't thinking about it at all. But you still had it in mind when you were in semis.
Maybe not in mind. Like, I don't think I was. Well, I think if I'm being like super honest, I think after doing the Slav, I was like, my personality is like, I like to like daydream of being like, try to predict what's happening in the future. Like, it's kind of can be a problem, but like, I like to like plan ahead of like, oh, what is that going to be like? What is it going to be like? And I think I had moments of being like, oh, that would be so cool. No part of me believed it was going to like happen really. Like, I didn't think it was reality, but more just being like letting myself imagine making a final. Like, what would that be like? Cause I wasn't letting myself think that at all before, like at all. And I think I definitely during like the semis was not like, oh, I need to do this con to make finals. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen. And even like after climbing, I was like watching the results. I was like shocked at the results to not think I was going to place like that. Even like I was like really on the bubble for a while and I was like, yeah, was not expecting it to happen. Definitely like no expectation of making a final or not even like. Like, I think it was more just like the opening of that as a possibility in the future at some point. Maybe it's more just not telling myself I couldn't do it.
Okay, I get that. And then how did finals feel?
Oh my God, like dream. I love being in front of a crowd. Like, I really, really like being in front of a crowd. And that was like the most fun crowd. And just like I've been obsessed with World Cups like since I was like, knew what a World Cup was like right around like my first youth worlds. I was like, oh my God, World Cups, I never knew about this, and just like have obsessed on them. And so being in a final is just like, yeah, amazing. Like the best possible in the kind of scenario you could ever imagine. Crowd and fun climbs and swinging around and like zero expectations. It was, yeah, pretty amazing.
Okay, so now going a bit into your strengths and weaknesses. I remember during that finals live stream, I think like either the co-commentator or maybe Matt said that like one of your weaknesses is like strength, I guess, if that makes any sense. So yeah, what does that mean to you? And then, Sovery, we'll get into your strengths and weaknesses as well.
I think Brazil probably was just like a great example of like my strength is definitely like slabs and just like general technical stuff. Like, I feel like I'm pretty decent on like technical coordination. Sometimes I struggle with like power, like upper body power, but mostly just like hard climbing is really hard for me, like just like pulling. Like, I think after the whole World Cup circuit, it was like, it's been years of like having this like kind of weakness, being like, okay, this is what I need to work on at every comp. But especially through the World Cup circuit, I was like, okay, every comp was like, I could do all the slabs, I could do all the like technical stuff, I just need to be able to pull. So I've been working on that.
She actually was mid-finals at Brazil, and my brother was sent into our family group chat like little gifts of like weak little emoji and then like a strong emoji and being like, this is Nikaya, like is what's gonna happen, like she says get on the kilter board. And that was not always what he said. There would go, good job, nothing, it's just she needs to get on the kilter board.
Yeah, right.
And guys, she's been doing a lot of board flying.
Feel like you've gotten stronger since then?
Yeah, trying to. No, I feel like I've definitely gained a lot this year physically. It's just slow. It's like, I think strength for me is just like, I have to put the work in and it will slowly keep going. Yeah. I think like both of us, because we've always just trained a ton of volume and skills. It's been an interesting transition. Like, she's supernaturally strong. But for me, like transitioning into more like intense strength training has been like, a fun challenge of doing something differently and trying to switch up training a bit.
And what about you?
I actually don't know what my strengths are. I can hang.
Oh my God. Sober has the strongest fingers ever. Like just can pull anything. Like if you get her, like, yeah, she can dangle.
I've already made a little bit of dangling. I have a really hard time with the mental aspect.
So that's
by far, I would say. Obviously, I've got weaknesses in climbing still. Like, I think I need a lot of power and stuff. But my mental is definitely a massive weakness for me. And I think it's a common thing if you watch me climb. I've had many people come over in the crowd and be like, yeah, you're really good. You're just mentally just bad.
Oh, how could they tell? Like, what is the sign?
It's pretty obvious when you watch me climb, to be entirely honest. Like, certain scenarios when I really melt. Yeah, I just, like, shake. And, yeah, I have many photos of me looking like I'm about to start sobbing in the middle of the round. And I am, because I'm just mentally melting.
I think from an outside perspective, like, I went through a similar phase when I was, like, probably around her age of, like, I think, like, her climbing level is so high, but she's, like, still gaining experience and, like, figuring out her brain. Like, she's, like, 19, just turned 19. And I think that there's, like, this little, like, period of, like, training, and I feel like I've seen it in a lot of different people, and I experienced it, where it's just learning how to deal with your brain and gaining comp experience to be able to, like, figure it out and gain those skills.
Have you ever, like, tried anything to fix the mental game, or, like, has anything worked for you or not worked for you?
I've tried a lot. I've struggled. The mental is such a hard thing to work on, at least for me. It's been, like, such a confusing and, like, overwhelming thing to try to figure out how to learn how to, like, get over. Like, I feel like for strength, this is very clear. You go lift weights or you go kilter fort, and that's about it. But for the mental, what really is causing me to freak out and melt? Oh, I don't know. It could be one of 8 things. And so I've read a bunch of books. I've been doing my little meditating and stuff, I guess. Like, I've been trying to.
You've been set through a lot too. Like, I think sometimes, like, when you're in the thick of it, it's hard to see, like, the progress, but, like,
it feels like you're never gonna get better. Like, yeah, actually, yeah. It feels like, not to be dramatic, but
yeah,
it feels horrible. Yeah. Like, honestly, horrible.
I feel like I've seen the steps of, like, more, like, gaining tools to deal with different, like, pressures. And, like, being able to be under pressure and perform. And also just, like learning what you think about your climbing and how do you want to be a climber? How do you want to perform? Like, what do you want to be like in front of a crowd? Like, I feel like I've seen those things, like, really consistently progress over the last few years. And you do a lot of work of, like the in-the-session work.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest of where it comes
in. It's like, I'm not allowed to do this. That's not a behavior I'm allowed to do. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm, like,
banned from crying in the gym.
Okay.
That's not true.
I ban myself.
You're a big, like, gym crier?
Well, yeah. Oh, I used to. We all are. Okay. But it's hard not to. When you're spending so much time in the gym, it's hard to realize that this is not your living room. Like, you can't go, like, way in little space. So honestly, you think it's funny, but you totally forget these things. Like, you'll just see my mom will just, like, she spends so much time in the gym, she forgets too. So she'll be laying in the middle of the pads, and you're like, Mom, like, get up.
Can't do this. So
that is, I think, helps to set some standards. I think figuring out, like, just how I can be comfortable under pressure and, like, in front of people and on display is something that I think I've been working on and I think is helping. Like, in front of a camera, I hate being in front of a camera oftentimes. Like, I don't like that feeling, like, having pressure on me, I guess. So I think trying to develop that, like, being okay with that, I think has helped. Also, having an image of how, like, a positive mental space can feel. Like, are in such a space of a run of so many bad mental comps, you honestly just forget that that's a possibility. Where, like, I forgot, like, I was like, oh no, I just feel like I'm going to cry through climbing, like during the round. That is just how I am. And then you just take that back and you can kind of understand, like, okay, I don't need to feel like my entire life is going to end as soon as I step on this fence. Yeah, it honestly, it seems so dramatic and like over talked, but when you're in it, it feels so like your life is about to end as soon as you step on this pad.
So like crowd, not good for you.
The funny bit is I used to like way outperform myself in comps and I loved being in front of the crowd and I still do. Like, I think I'm not super like stage fright or anything, but seeing that like pressure, it just made me melt for a really long time and still does.
I don't think it's some makes you melt. You're just figuring it out.
I'm figuring the process.
Okay. So, Nikai, you said that you're majoring in sports psychology. I guess based on what you've seen, like, what is your advice to her?
Well, I feel like most of my advice comes from my experience, not really, like, my psychology major, just because of being, like, a little bit older. I feel like I can give, like, advice in those ways. I think, like, we talk about it all the time. I think my biggest thing is, like, when you're in the thick of it, like, it's so hard to see a way out or, like, what it could be like or how all of this is, like, actually helping you and you're, like, learning and gaining and building and you can't because it's so slow and it's so, like, messy. It's really hard to see that there's an upward movement to all of this. It can just feel like a mess. And so I guess like my biggest advice would be just like be kind to yourself. It's gonna be like hard, but that the other side of that is like so important, not for like for climbing, obviously, like figuring it out is like great. And I think that once she settles like her brain some, like her climbing ability is gonna be like insane. But I think more so just for like life, knowledge of yourself, knowledge of how to live life, it will be like life lessons you can't get anywhere else. Just like having to learn how to like master your own brain in such a weird bubble of competition that you're never gonna get, you probably will get other places, but it's just so rare. Like, I think, yeah,
outside of like sports and competition, it is so rare to get such a clear like image of failure in your everyday life. You don't have such acute failure in like, unless you get fired from your job or something like that, like the instances of failure are more like black and white. And so I think those are really good lessons that come with like climbing, is being able to have such a clear, you either succeeded and you won the comp or you failed and you didn't, and that is a very like a cute moment to deal with or something.
That's a good way to put it. Okay, so then thinking more about the positive side of climbing and World Cups, you guys travel a lot together to the World Cups. What has been your favorite place to travel to?
Ooh, definitely Bern. Oh my God,
really?
I love okay. that city. It was the, like, I went in the river like every day. Maybe, yeah, definitely my favorite place ever. It was so cool. Like, I'm like a water person. I loved it. It was so expensive, but I love the river. I think that's definitely the coolest.
I really like China. It was really fun. I think it's so like so different from what we're used to. That is like such a unique travel experience that I probably wouldn't have had if it wasn't for climbing. So it's definitely one of my top places.
Yeah, you did say that while you were there, and I was surprised to hear it then, and I guess every time I hear it, I'm still surprised to hear it now. I remember discussing with you about like nutrition abroad and like eating, because you guys have some dietary restrictions.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you when you're traveling?
Well, she's vegetarian, so it's a little
mostly
bit.
Is just bread when I'm out of the country. I'm very lean.
Oh, that's difficult.
I just love bread. I think it's nice to. I just end up eating a lot of bread.
And then I'm vegetarian and gluten-free, and I try not to eat dairy. And so it kind of gets very difficult traveling in Asia because, like, soy sauce has gluten, and, like, every sauce has gluten. And so that part was definitely a challenge of trying to figure out how to travel and like compete. But I've like figured out like if I just pack a suitcase with a lot of tofu and like bring most of my food with me, that works really well, especially in Asia. And then Europe was pretty easy. Like I could just go to grocery stores the whole time. But no, yeah, that was a little interesting trying to figure out how to like, I was so sick of tofu by the end. But
oh, I bet. Yeah. Can you share like your best tofu recipes?
Okay. I'm not the person for that though, because I eat like the most disgusting food.
It's not good.
I'm not like a foodie type person. And so I just eat like for training, like what I'm like, I don't know. I eat tofu straight and like, and eat it straight. It's so gross. Yeah. I was weird. Yeah. I'm not a great example for that.
You've like never tried anything that was like, oh, I could eat this all the time and it's like delicious.
She sometimes mixes like pudding mix packet.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. Soak in tofu with like packaged pudding mix.
I actually did try making that once after you told me. It didn't turn out very good. So can you tell me how to make it again?
Wait, what type of soak and tofu did you use?
There was only one type at the grocery store. So whichever one that was.
Yeah.
And then I used like the Jell-O pudding mix, but the one I did use, I think it was like sugar free or like fat free, so I don't know if that's what was disgusting.
Yeah, you nothing sugar free.
Okay.
You gotta just use just basic chocolate. It's really good. Or the lemon one's pretty good. The chocolate's more normal. I think also this is something like we grew up vegetarian, and so this was like weird food combo. Like we grew up on tofu, so I think I've given it to people like, this is the best thing ever, you have to try it. And they're like, yeah, that's not good. But I love it. So I think it becomes a new taste.
I will try it again. Is it just like one packet of silk, one packet of the Jell-O mix, one packet of the silken tofu, and then you just like...
I literally just do it to taste. Like just like take a fork and like mix the tofu, blend it. It's way better if you're not lazy and like just throw it in a blender and... It's nice and smooth and it's good. Add a little bit of like milk so it like
shouldn't do any of this.
Yeah, it's
kind of literally just put it in a bowl and mix it.
I will try it.
It's good protein though. It's like the easiest thing ever. And it tastes
if I find other protein recipes, I'll send it over. Now I guess let's get into some like maybe hot takes you guys have about climbing. I know you mentioned you think that losing is more important than winning.
Yes. I'm going to offer conversations. I'm going to come off so negative. I think losing is definitely, especially for like younger athletes, is way more, and just in general, is way more important than winning. Because like my kind of like, my values in climbing are like for me, I have to like rationalize why I'm doing everything. And so it's like, okay, like why am I climbing? Like, it's not for like, I really enjoy it, but like it's taking up a lot of my life. Like why am I doing it? Like because there is sacrifice of like not going to life school or like doing those things. And for me, it's like all about like making myself a better person and learning about myself, learning tools for life. And I think in the past I've been like really scared of losing and like, or just in disappointed in general, because I'm like, I'm putting so much into this. Like I need results, or like it needs to be fun to be worth it, kind of. And fun being like fun in the way of being like, yay, I won, kind of. And I think the more I've like been competing, I've realized that like every time I've had those like super devastating competitions or losses, I have like so much more learning that's come out of those about myself, about my climbing, like just making myself a better climber, but also making myself like a better human. And I think I see sometimes like parents or like coaches or even like athletes being so scared of their like, whether like if it's like a parent, their kid losing and being like, oh, we went to this comp and like it just wasn't worth it, like we shouldn't have gone, like they lost a bit, they weren't having fun, which I think is so important to have fun. Like, there's no reason to be doing this other than like if you don't enjoy it, don't do it. But I think like sometimes people miss the like factor of like that those hard moments are like where you grow, and like that's the whole point of everything is like learning in those moments how to turn around and have those also the super fun moments.
Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you disagree? Agree?
No, I very much
no.
agree that. I very much agree with that. I think there's, especially like if you go to youth nationals, you hear so much of like, oh, I'm so devastated my kid didn't make it to like semifinals and stuff. And I think particularly looking at this from like a youth athlete perspective, that is such a harmful way to think about it. Like when you like lose, it's kind of more rewarding, I would say, in some really nasty way. Like, it's not fun, obviously. Most of the time it's not very fun.
Well, even just from a fun perspective, if you win all the time, it stops being that fun. You just feel cool.
You start feeling expectations to like you have to keep winning.
Yeah, or even just like it's not novel then. Like, even if you didn't work for it, it's not that important.
I agree with that.
Did you manage to think of another hot take in between the time?
I did. This might be a controversial hot take. I think most people who say that they hate comp climbing haven't been shown how to like comp climb. Because I've met many people who have been like, oh, well, I just don't like comp climbing. Like, it's just style. Comp style climbing, sorry. And then have, like, climbed with them and, like, done jumps with them or done more, like, compy style climbs. And then they've walked away really enjoying it. So I think that they need to be shown because it's kind of, if you don't know the nuance of movement, it is, like, quite intimidating. And it doesn't make sense. And so you're just like, why would I do this like weird jump that just doesn't make sense? Or even just like the power climbs that are comp climbs. I think if people are shown what it is and shown how they can learn the moves, I think this is, they can learn to like it quite easily. Now, I will say my brother is someone.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Literally hates, like, he refuses to jump. Like, we're going to jump, like, the gym with him. We'll be like, Mercati, try this jump. Like, it's so much fun. And he's like, nah, I don't comp climb.
Nah, bro.
And he like, legitimately hates it. So I think that there's some people that just legitimately hate it. But I think most of the time, people just need to be shown how to enjoy it.
And that's just about, like, the style of movement, not, like, the all the other, like, aspects of, like, competitiveness that come with it.
Poorly phrased, yeah, just the style of climbing
probably pertains also to like I think some people just aren't meant for competitive environments, and that's okay. But I think there's a lot of people that don't have the tools to enjoy being in a competitive environment, and like,
yeah, for sure,
not being able to like cope with the pressure and stuff is like makes it so it's not enjoyable.
It was actually really interesting. I did a local comp for fun like a few years back, and two guys made it to finals who had never, like, I think it was their first comp before. And they won. They're both super, super nervous. Like, we're not having a good time. And then the comp actually started. One started having a really good time and was, like, super enjoying it and was just, like, kind of having fun being in front of the crowd. And then the other one was just melting, like, could not, and was just not having a good time at all. And so I think that kind of demonstrates that some people get thrown into the environment and really enjoy it. Yeah. Some people just do not at all.
Well, but then that would kind of mean that you actually don't enjoy it since you're usually the one melting in competition.
So I will say from like more, yeah, a different perspective. Sovereign, like while she's like struggles with, I think, the pressure aspects and even can like sometimes be like appear shy and like when she's climbing. She is like so good under pressure, and I think sometimes it is like fueled by competitiveness for sure.
I love being like competitive. I like so much
that sort of like tension of being like someone's better than me or I'm better than them or let's see who's better on this climb, or just in general in life of being like card games. Really enjoys that.
I would say that it's not. To change what I said previously, I would say that it's not that I dislike that. I think sometimes it is a very fine, like, line between the enjoyment of it and not enjoyment of it, or being even able to like cope with it. And sometimes like this previous like stint of being struggling in comps was when I wasn't able to enjoy it or to be okay under that, right, in that feeling. That feeling turned really nasty and uncomfortable versus when sometimes it feels exciting and like, yeah, engaging or whatever. That makes sense.
No, yeah, makes sense. It's
confusing, okay. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing your hot takes. So last question I have, and then we'll have some like audience submitted questions. I mean, it sounds like you guys spend a lot of time in the gym climbing. Do you guys have time for like other stuff or like outside hobbies outside of climbing?
Well, I do school.
No. Okay, that is a lot.
No, so I think it is hard because like in when we're training, most of the time we're like 6 to 8 hours in the gym a day. It's like, oof, it adds up. But I really like to do art. Like I like to paint and draw. And I recently started swimming. I like this was for training. But I love it. Oh my God. I like have been lap swimming and it like I've never been able to get into running. Like I've also trained to run, but it hurts so bad to run and swimming doesn't hurt. And I've like, yeah, now every day I can get away with it with training. I'm like, let's go swimming.
I can't deal with the swimming. I just went swimming yesterday. Well, first of all, I can't really swim. So that doesn't help.
She can swim, but she's like a little so-so and she doesn't enjoy.
It's not as fun if you're like figuring out how to swim.
Yeah.
I'm with some of us.
It was exhausting and bad and embarrassing. I like didn't want the lifeguard to look at me, even though the lifeguard should probably be looking at me because I might die.
I have like zero, like my embarrassment. Oh, it's like threshold is really high. I don't think about these.
That's good.
So I can make a fool of myself.
The first time we went swimming, she took me swimming and went directly in front of the lifeguard, which is like a 15-year-old little boy. He was just sitting there kicking me the entire time. And I'm like, flailing. It was the worst experience. Stop lying.
I relate to that.
No, you just gotta like think about all the people that go and don't know how to swim.
That's me.
Yeah, but there's so many of you then. Like, do you even care? Like,
yeah, I know.
You just
I know.
Gotta go for it. It's so funny when you get a little rhythm, like your brain turns off and you're just like, whoa. Like, that's like, yeah, it's fun. It's nice.
I mean, I can't turn my brain off. Like, even when like floating on my back, I have to think really hard about like breathing or else I'll like sink.
Like, you like, so for me, like, my brain doesn't turn off a lot. It's like very loud. And so this is like the first time where I've been like, oh, I could like swim and just focus on like the rhythm of my swimming and just I'm able to have quiet a little.
I think that makes sense if you know how to swim. Yeah. Like otherwise it's just like I'm about to drown all the time.
It's not quiet.
It's just panic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Screaming in there.
That's yeah. Funny. So Ray, what about you?
I do school too. I like baking and I like reading. So that's my like two.
The come I allowed to share your Harry Potter.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
She's like obsessed with Harry Potter.
Huh.
Like obsessed. Like she listens to it on a loop. Like,
oh my gosh.
Whole series. Like every time she showers, like obsessed. And like in comps, she listens to Harry Potter. Like she's like a mega fan. So that takes a long time.
Oh my God, you should show her here.
She just made a Lego.
Okay, I did recently discover Legos. I love it. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what also, is...
Yeah, show it.
Jack. My Mandrake.
Yeah, go get your Mandrake. She's been so proud of this. She made a little Lego Harry Potter thing.
Interesting. So it's like, instead of music, it's just Harry Potter.
Yeah. This was part of figuring out her like mental tools. Is this something you came up with? Because she finds it calming. And she listens to Harry Potter.
It's very relaxing.
Whoa.
He pulls out.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I've never watched Harry Potter, so I don't know what that is.
Oh, watch them. The movies are terrible. Are terrible.
But the books are so good.
I haven't read or watched. I did try to read it. So I stopped watching the movies past the second because they were too scary for me. And then I tried to read the books instead. But then the third... Like something in like the fourth book was also too scary for me. Like I had recurring nightmares from reading it. So then I was like, I have to stop. I wasn't allowed to read it
until I was like 13 or something because of my mom was like, you're gonna get scared.
It is very scary. I'm still too scared.
But they're so good.
It's worth
like it's yeah, the plot.
It's past. People don't even like Harry Potter anymore, so it's okay.
Yeah, you're
it's like beyond. I thought I wouldn't have to like talk to people about it anymore after a certain year.
I don't know, what's like the new fantasy? What's the new
book? Oh, The Hunger Games.
It's so popular. That's old too.
No, that's old too.
Yeah.
You guys are old souls.
Whoa. Oh, that's easy.
He's like obsessed with vintage, like old, like children's like fairy tales, and she like collects the books, like old like vintage books.
I enjoy reading them.
No, I think I mean at a certain point like vintage becomes like new again, but with like Hunger Games and Harry Potter, it's kind of like the cringe millennial thing now, I think. Not that it's cringe, I really didn't think that anyone was talking.
You didn't expect that coming up today.
But okay, what is the Lego set?
It's like a plant from the movie.
Oh, okay.
It's really not that cool.
I mean, it's cute.
It's called a mandrake. And they scream and they like make you pass out if you scream or something like that.
Oh, maybe I did get to that part. They are like kind of cute, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like little there. They're little like ugly men. The babies.
That's cute.
And they grow up. They get to be teenagers.
Yeah. Okay.
This is important stuff.
Yeah.
Whole Harry Potter thing.
Okay, well, I think it is interesting that you listen to the books like during competitions. I mean, I know like Matt Groom sometimes goes around and like asks people what they're listening to, so it would be very interesting if you got asked that.
As also during sessions, I listen quite often.
Yeah, I think most people do music, so that's good to know. Okay, so let's get into some of the audience submitted question. The first one is from Discord. Name is ClimberRPH. They're curious about shoes, not so much the brand, but how you wear them for comps. So do you wear the same pair for training and comps, or do you have like a dedicated comp pair? And like how broken in do they need to be before you want to wear them in a comp, and how worn is too worn?
My shoes... I start a new pair right before I start a comp and then just wear them out like in training sessions. But I have found exactly 5 sessions is the time that my shoes are perfect for comps because they're just enough. Cause I wear the Scarpa, the Dragos.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get super soft. And so they need to be like just stiff enough.
We do the same thing of like, I got about a week before a comp. I'll break in like just like a few sessions, new shoes like 10 days before. And it kind of becomes a problem. Like I realized doing the full World Cup circuit, I had to keep breaking in shoes.
Oh, wow. You did a new one for every World Cup?
I think, well, they were close enough together, most of them, that I didn't need a new pair every time. But it was enough to where, like, I now have, like, my bag is just, like, full of shoes that I just have to, like, that are, like, a week worn in. Should I go to keep working through to get through them? But I also, I wear them till, like, they start, like, until they get a little hole or they start collapsing. And then I get to, like, get rid of them earlier because my mom has the same size feet as me. And so I give them to her and so she wear them fully too. So I get to have my shoes all the time and she the shop because she cheated.
Yeah. Couldn't you just like wear through one pair and then keep that like slightly worn pair for comps only?
Yeah, but I have like mental attachment to my shoes. And so I'm like, I need them to be like the shoes that I climbed in the session before. And like, I got used to them. So like have sweaty feet. So I need them. I'm used to climbing in like kind of wet shoes. That's sort of like and so once you like don't wear shoes for like a few days, they get like hard.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I have to be in the same shoes because they have to have the right amount of moisture.
I probably also like tend to oxidize slightly. Yeah. And so like ruins your trust with your shoes.
Yeah, that is true. It's like the rubber gets worse. Mm-hmm. You gotta like get rid of that first layer or something. Okay. Next one from Instagram, Ellie Joy Climbs. What is your favorite style of climb?
I love like swinging climbs. I think that's so fun.
I thought you were gonna say slab. So it was actually.
That's like the other thing is I think I love slab because of like it's so like mental, like I can think about all different like things, and I feel like I really enjoy the thinking part of slab and also just like the movement. But I like, you know, I just love to swing. Like I used to, me and my little friend when we were on a youth team when I was like 8 years old, like exclusively the entire session would only dyno for like months straight and swing around. Like I really like coordination.
I feel like I'm really scared on jumps, but a dynamic movement I get like really scared on. So this is going to make no sense, but like jumping on dual techs, I really appreciate it. Like I think
really?
It's fun. I really like dual techs. I think it's just like, or no techs. I think it's really a fun style of climbing. She's good at it. And so I'm just absolutely like petrified of it. So yeah, it's a weird combo.
She's not being, yeah. She's figured out the technique of the no-tex holds. It's like, I don't get it. I don't understand it yet.
What's the secret? Is it for like feet or hands or both?
Whoa. I think standing on things quickly, not like too violently, but just putting your weight on the holds like very precisely and quick helps a lot. There's like so many different things that help that we can really get into, but we would be here for like an hour of just breaking it down. Like
okay, so then real quick, that's a foot thing. What about like hands?
You have to, there's different types of like no-techs, and so like the finish that they use, some holds are better
no-techs are slippery.
Yeah, there's better no-techs that sticks better, there's others no-techs that are way slipperier. So you have to like kind of know the types of dual-techs and know how sticky you want your hands to be, like how sweaty you want your hands to be. So I have like a spray bottle that I like spray my hands down sometimes. But some holds or some types are better if your hands are like slightly chalky. So you have to like figure out as like what the hold demands essentially.
I would need to see more no-tex holds. I haven't really seen any no-tex holds at the gyms here.
Yeah, they're slower to come into the gyms than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
I end up climbing them because of the training center we climb at in California and also the Salt Lake Training Center. They have no-tex clothes. So we climb them quite a bit.
Yeah.
They're interesting.
Develop a relationship with them.
Okay, next one from Omar H5. Do you have outdoor rock projects? Haven't talked about outside at all.
Yeah. Honestly, I haven't spent that much time climbing outside, and I want to after I'm done comp climbing, because I really want to be able to like travel and like fully dedicate training to it. But I haven't had, I honestly have very little experience climbing outside, so I don't have any projects.
Same for you.
Yeah, have never really been outside. Been outside like a few times. I think it'd be something I'd be good at. I could complement my style, but I don't really have a desire to go outside at all. So currently, no.
That's fine. This is like the new generation of non-outside climbers.
I don't have
a massive.
I want to, after I'm done competing, I want to be able, I like doing things with full focus. I don't like happening things. And so when I'm done comp climbing, I'm going to like, I want to travel and like, yeah, I think develop will be super cool too.
So neither of you have like gray chased outside at all?
No. Actually, we recently we went outside like a few months ago, and it was like the first time in like 2 years.
Whoa.
And we both did our first 10 within like a few tries.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, we could climb, because I was curious how much we could climb outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool. Where was it?
Joshua Tree. It was a good ego stroke. We're like, we don't suck. Okay, that's all we need.
No, I totally get that. Okay, good to know. Next one from Bryce Wayne. What effect does fan interaction have on your morale?
So that's kind of new to me because of like I think I just haven't been like at that level of like known as a climber. And after Brazil, I had a lot more attention, which was really cool. And like everyone was so nice and it was an insane life experience. But definitely, like specifically for the Salt Lake World Cup, it was like a really hard mental thing for me because I think I got stuck in this like a headspace of being like, I need to like, or people are going to expect me to do something that I can't do, or they're going to think I'm this person and maybe I'm not, or like, just there was a lot more chatter in my brain of being like, what do people expect from me, or what are people thinking about me that I just hadn't dealt with in a lot of years because of like I think early teen years I had like struggled with that because of just like trying to figure myself out and like what that felt like in competition. And then like I like I said, I'm like low embarrassment threshold, like I don't really think about that a ton. And so it was like the first time in a while where it was like really strong. And I had a lot of like really good conversations over that like period of being like, okay, what do I care about in my climbing? And like, also, what do I want to like show to other people? And I think at the end of the day, I was like, okay, I just think authentic, whatever is happening is going to come off best. And like, yeah, also work best for me. But it was definitely like a weird thing that I'd never dealt with before. Oh, people are looking, or they feel like they're looking. I don't even know if they are, but they feel like they're looking. What is that? Yeah, what does that mean for me?
I would say I haven't had to deal with this really because I haven't had fan interactions yet. So I think I'm at a different spot in my career.
There's people, especially with Instagram. I think yeah, I've had
a few people with Instagram come over and like recognize me or whatever in the gym, which was really cool. Like it's a really fun experience. It's fun to meet people. I would say, I think it kind of bursts your bubble in a little bit in a way. Like, that, like, you have a sense of, like, anonymity in the gym or whatever. Like, you're just kind of doing your thing. And, like, having people come over makes you kind of, like, realize you're like, oh, people are, like, seeing me being stupid in the corner. Mm-hmm. So I think that makes it a little bit.
Generally, just being, like, in certain areas, being, like, a strong female climber, you just will get more attention in the gym. And I think, like, I've seen you over the last few years, like, figure out, like, oh, okay, how does that feel? Like, what does that look like for me?
Yeah.
And definitely be able to get over it, basically.
Yeah. It's a little bit of pressure.
Sometimes.
Kind of the feeling that people know that you're, like, good. So if you can't do something, yeah, it's like, I don't know, like a competition opportunity.
Yeah. No, I have this like weird thing that I've had since I was like little of being like, I really want people to think like female climbers are like really impressive. And so whenever I'm like compared to like a male climber or like in a opportunity like that where it's like, oh, people are watching and they know I have results or whatever, I'm like, okay, I need to represent and like bring everything I can. So
oh, yeah.
Female climbers are strong, and it's like so not realistic in the slightest. But I think that, like, especially when I was like her age, I was like, oh, I don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah, I totally get that. It's like this feeling that you are representing like an entire body of people.
Yeah,
it's like a lot of pressure for no reason.
Yeah, just because people say like the stupidest things. I think that's kind of probably what it like brought up. Just hearing people be like, oh, female climbers are like pro climbers, like, oh, I could beat them on this and that. And I was like, yeah.
That's annoying. Okay, next one. And then one more after that. ZYXWL2015 asks, how does it work financially for you as a pro?
I'm figuring it out.
Yeah.
It is really hard. I think my mom is amazing, and she supports us through everything, because like being in school and climbing, I can't work, like it wouldn't be possible for me to have a job
without serious like sacrifice on one of the ends.
Yeah,
putting less work in.
Yeah, and I'm graduating school soon, so I'm trying to figure out like what does that look like for me, and honestly, like I'm trying to figure out like the world of like sponsorship and what that looks like and how to get that and how to manage it. And it's, if I'm being completely honest, it's really confusing. Like, I think it, and I know a lot of, I've talked to like tons of other comp climbers or just climbers in general about this. It's just confusing and hard. And like,
I think there's been a lot of success for getting financial support. I think it's just,
it helps a lot. Like, through USA Climbing, I got some funding for some of the World Cups, which was really helpful. That's nice. Made like a huge difference. But yeah, just generally, my mommy.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's the financial is insane.
You have to have
aspect. Yeah. It's just, it's a lot of money. It makes some serious financial like sacrifices to choose which one you're going to get.
Yeah. I think that's, we're very lucky to have like, someone who like my mom, who's just like, this is what we want to do. This is
like, our priority.
All our money.
Not replacing our walls,
And like the U.S. doesn't really sponsor athletes in the same way that some other countries do, but it's good to hear that you got some from like USA Climbing for the World Cups.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Was it like just enough to cover your like travel and like plane ticket, housing?
It's kind of weird because of it depends on like not quite performance, but like sometimes they give it just a team and then sometimes it switches mid-year, and like there's all this like intricacy of like how they do funding. And so like for some World Cups everything was covered, and then other World Cups nothing was covered, and so it's like all over the board. Like, yeah,
well, good luck to you there.
Someone sponsor me.
Yeah, please. Okay, last one. Not as serious of a question from I'm Ken Lin. Does Sovery always get the middle seat when traveling?
Yes.
100% yes.
No, that's actually not true. Mom does.
Yeah, my mom. Yeah. Nikaya is like a very touchy person, so she'll fall asleep on you like no matter what. So I don't really like having the middle seat because that means that she's sleeping on top of me the entire plane ride. And so sometimes I'll make her sit in the middle or my mom sit in the middle. But yes, typically it is me in the middle seat for sure.
She's tiny. She's 14.
And like this wide. She's fine. She can be in the middle seat.
Yeah, I think that's probably also why people don't know that you guys are like sisters, because you're very different sizes.
Yeah. Well, kind of. She's like, I'm 5'2", but I'm built more like this. She's like a little tiny person, you know?
Wait, how tall are you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 4'10 and a half.
Actually?
Yes. I just measured myself.
Wait, I don't remember that at all. Okay.
Small people come from a small family. So
how often do you find that like makes climbs more difficult for you in the comp scene?
It has a huge impact. I think it makes things, typically it's not as black or white. Like you can't do the move because you're short or whatever. I just find that it makes it more difficult a lot of the time. Especially coordination wise, like moves are just going to be harder as if you're tall, because you have much more time in the move to like find the technique. Like I have to have more power, and it's a quicker move for me to get the jump, if that makes sense. My mom always tells me, she's like, my comp road or whatever is going to be much more like up and down. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to have much more big upsets and stuff, just because there's going to be inequality in the setting. I think, frankly, an impossible job in many like circumstances to set completely even.
So I think just some of the consistency is harder. Just like there just can't be a move where it just doesn't work as well, or it's heinous.
Yeah, it's just also so hard to spot whether a move is like, think of all the setters are like 5'10". Like it's just going to be harder to spot if moves are unfair. But yeah, I think in gyms, I notice it being a problem significantly more.
Wow, yeah. I really didn't realize you were that short. Usually when I meet people who are like under 5 feet, it like really stands out to me. And I guess that didn't stand out to me. So maybe of tall energy.
I don't
like being short at all. So it's a good thing to hear.
Look, always guess that like
like they'll guess that she's like 5 foot and then I'm 5'6". And neither of us are those heights.
No. Mm-hmm. No, that seems like I get that. Like you give off 5'6" and 5 foot energy.
Thank you. I'm not.
I have long arms though.
Yeah, maybe that's why. I think that helps. Okay, well, that's all the questions I had then. Thanks for joining me today. Any like last minute thoughts or words of wisdom?
There's something really interesting about like being siblings in and having like something that's like a shared interest. Like I think we are the extreme of that, of being like having dedicated everything. But I think my family in general has really been like able to stay much, much closer because of climbing. Like my mom climbs and all my siblings climb. And I think that's why I get so like, obviously I'm excited about climbing for so many different reasons. But I always like I really hope for like in my future, when I have a family, like I can climb all together with my whatever. But I would really encourage like families to like go climb together, because there's a type of side-by-side play that you can't get in a lot of other places, where it doesn't matter what you're doing and it just adds a place of commonality that's really cool.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you for answering those questions. Do you want to let people know where they can find you and for sponsorships?
Oh yeah, so my email is my Instagram, this is NEKAIA.Sanders.
And then my Instagram is Sovrain, so it's just SOVARAE. And then that's it.
Awesome. I will add the links to those in the description. Thank you again, and it was amazing to talk to you guys.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for making it to the end of the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed. Otherwise, you are a super fake climber. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, I'd appreciate if you rate it 5 stars, and you can continue the discussion on the free competition climbing Discord linked in the description. Thanks again for listening.